Well, I appreciate Pat pointing out a point that I agree with, and that is that the covering is not a custom of the day. We spent a lot of time in that segment teaching that. And I appreciate that because I believe the same thing. I believe that this passage is applicable to us today, both men and women. It's speaking to men and women of New Testament times. But now that we all understand that, I don't think we have to spend any more time on that. Now, you can study that personally, but one thing that I'm still very unsure of is, I started out talking about authority. And I think that is the key ingredient to understanding this pattern. Just like we do everything else in the church, we establish authority for it. Now, the only way I could imagine someone trying to prove an artificial covering is by a necessary inference, and that necessary inference would be because it specifies a time, then you need to be able to put it on and take it off. Now, I don't think that that's a necessary inference, but I don't think that's what Pat said. I think he said he gained authority for an artificial covering by direct command. Now, I'd like for you to clear this up for me when you get up again, Pat. Is it a direct command, or is it a necessary inference? If it's a command, I understand that a covering is commanded. But I want to understand the specifics of the covering. Can a woman cover her head with her hand? Because that is put onable and removable. Can a hand serve as a covering? Tell me some specifics concerning that. Also, I'm a little questionable as to the color. You know, this is supposed to be a sign. It's a sign that other people can, it's a sign of authority. And any sign has to tell something to somebody else. And if you can't see it, how can it be a sign? I'd like to have those specified. What is command or inference? If it's a command, I need to see where it commands that a cloth is required, or is a hand sufficient. Just to mention all the questions he said that he would have for me, I think every single one of his questions is, why would God say praying or prophesying? Why would God use a different word? Why did God do this? Why did God do that? It don't make a whole lot of sense to me. Well, there's a lot of things in the Bible that don't make a whole lot of sense. Why God said this or why God said that. Baptism, for instance. Why did God choose that we need to be immersed in water to be saved? Why? Well, I don't have to question why. And almost every question he had up there was, why did God choose to do it this way? That's simple to me. I don't have to answer for God. God chose to do it, and I choose to believe it. And I choose to believe what he has given me authority in the Bible. He certainly did not overlook a way to give us authority for the covenant. He did not do it. He didn't overlook it. It wasn't an accident. And I can establish authority for an artificial covenant. Now, I can establish authority for long hair as being a covering. I know that, let me put up a couple slides here. This is some questions that I've got, and I put the answers up there. Is a woman covered when she prays if she has long hair? Now, we know that verse 15 says, long hair give a woman for a covering. It is a covering. Now, some people would say that she needs to have two coverings. Now, if you want to ask why God chose to do it this way, why didn't God choose to say, you need to have two coverings. You need to have, in addition to the covering that I give you, even though the covering, but why didn't God just say you need two coverings? I don't want to question that. I don't have to question that. I know the Bible says in verse 15, long hair is given the woman for a covering. Number two, is a woman covered when she prays if she is wearing an artificial covering but has short hair? Well, I don't think so.
I believe this passage clearly teaches, and Pat agrees too, that women should have long hair. Men should have short hair. And we know that long hair is a covering. So, can a woman have short hair and yet cover her head with a cloth and be covered? Is that okay? Because keep in mind also, the only way that Pat would justify a woman having long hair is taught by nature, not by God. Nature teaches that, not God, according to him. I think God teaches long hair in the first 12 verses, and nature teaches long hair in 14 and 15. Does a woman have to have two covers on the same time to be covered? Well, I don't think so. If you're covered, you're covered. Covered is an issue of a yes or no. Not how many times do you have to be covered in order to be covered. If you have one covering on, you're covered. Does the Bible teach that it's wrong for a woman to be covered if she is not praying? No. Now, this is what some people would try to necessarily imply, that if a woman is not praying, get my words mixed up, then she... Does the Bible teach that it's wrong for a woman to be covered if she's not praying? No, the Bible only teaches that a woman should be covered when she prays. It does not talk about when she's not praying. And Pat agrees. I mean, you can be covered all the time if you want to. If you want to wear a cloth on your head for the rest of your life and never take it off, that's fine. It doesn't matter. And that's the exact same. If it doesn't matter to him and it don't matter to me, then why not choose the natural covering, which is blatantly stated in verse 15 as being a covering? Why not choose that? Since it doesn't matter if you take it off. You don't have to take it off. You can leave it on forever. Does the Bible teach that it's wrong for a woman to be uncovered while praying? Yes, that's wrong, because the Bible testifies that. A woman should be covered when she prays. It just doesn't speak about when she's not praying. Is long hair covering? Yes, everybody knows that. Should a woman be covered while she prays outside the assembly? Yes, me and Pat both have stated that. Is it wrong for a woman to be shaven, have no hair at all? And there could be some issue as to some of these definitions here, but I think it's clear from Greek study and from text that to be shaven is to look like Mr. Clean, to be bald and shiny. And that's obviously wrong for women states that. It's a shame for a woman to be short and shaven. It's wrong for a woman to be shorn, have a GI. Now, this is the definition from Greek and from context that to be shorn is to be cut extremely short. It's like shearing a sheep. When they shear a sheep, they get as much of that wool as they can get. But there's a little bit of fuzz left on this when I turn government issue haircut. Is it wrong for a woman to have short hair like a man? Yes. And when you study this, and when you read through, and we know that the word covering can be associated with long hair, and to be uncovered is to not have long hair. So, we know the first, verses 3, 4, and 5 talks about covering, and then talks about length of hair that are acceptable and that are not acceptable. On a woman, if she has shorn hair or shaven head, then that's not acceptable. And verse 6 for if a woman is not covered, and making that application to hair, if a woman's not covered, then she's not going to have long hair. So if a woman has short hair of any length that is not classified as long, then better also be short. But if it's shameful for a woman to be short or shaved, let her be covered. So if a woman, I think this passage is teaching that if a woman wants to have any degree of hair that is not classified as long, then she might as well shave her head or be shorn. To go from something that is borderline to something that is an obvious shame, because to walk the line is just as shameful as to be shave your head. I think that's what the passage is teaching.
And that logic will carry throughout the passage and be consistent with verse 15.
Does shorn shaving and short describe three different lengths of hair? Yes, and that's what I think Paul is doing. One purpose for this passage, it would be nice if Paul just said, women should have long hair, men should have short hair, that's him and subject, leave it alone. So, Paul explained why, and Patrick gave several reasons why Paul was talking about this. He talked about, authority, headship, and what the glory and what the shame, and all those reasons. Well, another reason, I think, is because there are some women who want to get their hair as short as they can get it, and there are some men who want to grow their hair as long as they can get it. And Paul, we need a biblical teaching on it. Is it wrong? Does it matter? Does it matter if men have long hair or women have short hair? Well, yeah, I think it matters. And this is the passage in the New Testament that tells why it's important for men to have short hair and for women to have long hair. If it's not talking about hair, and it's the only authority we can gain from the entire New Testament about the proper length of hair, is in verse 15, and that's only called by nature. God don't teach that. So in other words, we can have our hair at any length we want to, and it doesn't matter. Well, no. This passage is talking about the proper length of hair for men and women. Is it wrong for a woman to have long hair that hangs down from the head? No, it's not. Did God give women their hair that they might have a glorious cover? Yes, it is. I think there are plenty more questions to answer from Pat's standpoint than there is from mine. I believe what is blatantly stated in this passage. The first 12 verses, and this is not the only time that something is stated in the explanation or the answer is given after. Now, you remember the parable of the sower, how all the different types of soil, and the seed was spread in all different types of soil, and then later on, Jesus went on to explain what those types of soil were, and he explained after he had told the story. And I think that's not that unreasonable. Paul was just stating in the first 12 verses some reasons why a woman should have her head covered and proper length of hair, and then verse 13, 14, 15 gives a blatant and obvious answer to what he's talking about. It's not that unreasonable. I don't question why God does the things that he does or why he says the things that he says. All I do is look at the Bible, try to understand what it says, try to gain authority for what I believe. If I can't gain authority for it, then I'm not going to believe it. So, I don't expect everybody to leave here tonight and say, well, you know, I understood everything that was said from Pat and everything that was said from me, from Jeff, and I believe Jeff and I'm going to go with that. I don't expect that. It's going to take personal study from each one of you. Now, me and Pat are giving you some things to think about when you study. Do you think that you need to understand how many times Cataclupo is referred to an artificial cover? Is that necessary? Do we need to go back and count that? Well, 84 times Cataclupo refers to artificial covering, and 0 times it refers to natural covering. I don't think that's necessary. You can read and understand. And, you know, I've looked at commentaries and I've looked at Greek on a lot of this, and I honestly don't think that provides any more information. I really don't. I think we can learn everything we need to learn from this passage. And do you think that God wrote the Bible so that we have to understand Greek? So that we have to go into
all that to understand? And would he give us something to bind if we can't establish authority for it? I don't think so.